The epistle for the second Sunday in Advent is taken from Romans chapter 15. Brethren, what things soever were written for our learning, that through patience and the comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. Now the God of patience and of comfort grant you to be of one mind, one towards another, according to Jesus Christ, that with one mind and with one mouth you may glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive one another as Christ also has received you unto the honor of God. For I say that Christ Jesus was minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. But that the Gentiles are to glorify God for his mercy, as is written, therefore will I confess to thee, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and will sing to thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and magnify him, all ye peoples. And again, Isaiah saith, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise up to rule the Gentiles, and him the Gentiles shall hope. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and patience and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and in the power of the Holy Ghost. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 11. At that time when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, sending two of his disciples, he said to him, art thou he that art to come, or do we look for another? And Jesus, making answer, said to them, go and relate to John what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise again, the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he that shall not be scandalized in me. And when they went their way, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, they that are clothed in soft garments are in the houses of kings. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, tell you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my angel before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Please be seated. When the messengers of John departed, he began to speak to the multitude concerning John. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So we reach the second Sunday of Advent, we find the figure of St. John the Baptist. He's presented to us today as a model. And actually we see that it's our Lord Jesus Christ that shows what a model he is to us. The virtues that he practiced. And these virtues are something that we can take a look at and to see, by the practice of these virtues, it also will help to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Savior, the coming of our Savior into our souls. And so we know with St. John the Baptist, not only being the precursor, the one who came before our Lord to prepare the way, that it wasn't just by his words that he preached, but it was also by his holiness of life. And it's through that holiness of life, as I say, it gives us a time to consider and to contemplate these virtues, and then to try to make the application for our own lives. And that is what is asked of us in looking at the lives of the saints. God calls them at certain time periods, calls them to do certain things, but certainly not always will we be called to the same way as like a St. John the Baptist. But we're still called to the practice of the virtues. We're still called to the holiness of life. And so that is something that we can look at and to examine, especially as we are trying to prepare for this feast of Christmas. And so we see that our Lord brings out some of these virtues by the questions that he asks them. That he asks the people that are there, standing there. And so he talks about the contemplative nature or life that St. John the Baptist lived, his constancy in doing good, in doing what is right, the mortifications that he practiced, and then finally just the purity and the faithfulness in accomplishing the mission that was given to him by God. And so with these virtues that he practiced, as I mentioned, it gives us a chance to examine them and then to try to apply them to our lives. You know, this contemplative nature that he had. Because our Lord asked the question, what went you out into the desert to see? Now, what did you go out to see? And so there they find St. John the Baptist in the heart of the desert, in the solitude. We have the famous saying of St. John the Baptist, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, crying out in the desert. I mentioned before that this idea of the desert, yes, it is him feeling that he's crying out in empty words to the people because they're not heeding the words. But also, yes, very really, he went out into the desert to prepare himself for the mission. And so by having that solitude, by having that opportunity to think and to pray, it helped him then too to contemplate this mission that God has given to him, but then also to be faithful to that. And so for all of us, yes, we don't have the chance to go out into the desert. Today is not a desert out there, for sure. And so we don't have that opportunity, but we still have the chance to meditate. Because the saints will tell us that the solitude, the chance to go out, to think and to meditate, that is the foundation of sanctity. And so granted, not all of us will be called to the cloister of religious life or being separated from the world. So we're not called to that. But still amongst the duties and the responsibilities we have, we must contemplate. We must meditate and think upon the things of God. We must think about our spiritual life. We must think about if we're making progress in the spiritual life. And so that is something that all of us can do. And it's nothing that we have to, you know, feel that we have to take like an hour or two or something of that nature. No. But to get into the habit of examining our conscience, of meditating, of trying to think, trying to take these opportunities to consider the state of our soul. And so that contemplative nature of St. John the Baptist that allowed him to fulfill the mission that was given to him. And then by us, in turn, having that opportunity to contemplate and to think upon the things of God, our soul, that'll help us to avoid sin. It'll help us to avoid the occasions of sin. Because it'll give us the chance to meditate upon these things, these dangers to us. And so therefore, from that, yes, it'll keep us away from sin. And so then we have also then his constancy in doing good. And this was something that St. John the Baptist, by being faithful to the truth, by preaching the word of God, that is how he ended up being killed, for the truth, because he stood up for what was right. And so when our Lord asks, what when you ought to see a reed shaken in the wind, it is not one that's bounces back and forth from side to side. And we call it a fence sitter. It is one that is determined and dedicated to sanctifying their soul. Of yes, avoiding the occasions of sin, avoiding the things that could lead us away from Almighty God. And so yes, very clearly, he was not a reed shaken in the winds. Because the spiritual authors will say that a reed signifies the carnal souls, the weak and inconsistent ones. Ones that are taken in by people around him, the environment that they're in. That they don't stay firm. Firm in serving Almighty God. And so they go to the whims, that the desires that they have. That they bounce back and forth. We can even say that sometimes they have a great fervor and then the next, because of difficulties or struggles, they give up everything. And so very clearly, St. John the Baptist was not that. He was firm in the truth and preaching the truth. And because of his holiness of life, because of his preaching, that is how he prepared the way for the Savior that was to come. And it is through his preaching, it is through how he lived his life, that it gave the chance for the people to listen and to follow the real Redeemer, even though a lot of people thought because of his holiness of life, because of him, that he was the Messiah. And that's why he sends his disciples to ask our Lord, is this the one, or do we wait for another? He knew very clearly that was the Savior, but he wanted his disciples to realize that he was not the Messiah and to direct them toward our Lord. And so, very clearly, St. John the Baptist was not a reed shaken in the wind. He was constant in doing what was right before the eyes of God. Not being, you know, we can say lukewarm or tepid, and not being one that was, you know, drawn by people around them, drawn by their environment, that they would be weak and they would give in to that. He was this constancy in doing what God had asked him to do, his faithfulness to his duty of state. And so then, through that also, we see with St. John the Baptist, the mortification. And as I mentioned, obviously with the saints, God calls them and gives them specific graces to help them at that time period. And so certainly not all of us will be called to the life of St. John the Baptist. But we have to look at the mortifications that he did practice, and then trying to see the mortification for us. You know, what do we need to try to do for our lives? So again, our Lord asked the question, what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft garments. And our Lord answers that by saying the ones who are clothed in soft garments, those are the king in the king's palace. Those are the ones that are living that easy life. But he says for St. John the Baptist, not at all. Here you have a man that clothed himself in camel's hair, eating locusts and honey. And as I say, yes, that part we're not called to. But we are called to the mortifications, to not to just give in to our desires. Again, we can say it is consistent with what our Lord was saying about a reed. Those carnal souls, those souls that just give in to what their desires are. And so St. John the Baptist, he fought that by his mortifications. And so the mortifications are indispensable for us to subdue our flesh, to expiate our sins. And in a way, we can say, to try to assure our salvation. And so it is necessary for us. It's necessary for each one of us to try to examine and to see, what do I need to do? What penances, what mortifications, what sacrifices do I need to take on? You know, whether it's during a time period of Advent or Lent, or just even throughout the year. Because all of us are going to struggle. All of us are going to have temptations, trials, difficulties, and so therefore we need means to help us to fight those. And that is truly what mortification, that is what that is for us. It's a means to fight against human nature, what we're drawn toward. Because remember, because of original sin, we're drawn toward sin. And so therefore, we have to fight that. And it is through mortifications. And you can see in the lives of the saints, to what degrees they practice it. You can see even in like the religious monasteries or in convents, the mortification that they take on, things that they sacrifice, things that they give up to fight against the flesh. And that is the battle that we all undergo every day of our life. And we can say when the saints, by subduing that, that is how they increased in virtue. But if we pamper ourselves, if we always give in to whatever our whims, our desires are, we certainly are not going to be greater in perfection or rise higher. Because we're allowing then our desires to take control. So that is why then in this time period of Advent, if you maybe haven't had a chance or thought about things to give up, consider it now. And here we are in the second week. We still have time to prepare for the Feast of Christmas by small sacrifices that we give to God, little things that we can try to do. You're obviously always welcome to ask the confessor, you know, is this something I should take on? Sometimes we try to do too much. And so therefore we can ask that and see, what do I need to try to do? And sometimes even through our confessions, we can find mortifications because of possibly what the priest will tell us. The confessor will see, okay, well, maybe try to do this. You know, maybe try to stay away from these things or try to give this up or whatever it may be. And so these are the things that we try to look at in the virtues that we can practice. And so through his mortifications, and obviously we can also say with St. John the Baptist, his mortification of his own will. He followed God's will. He followed the path, the mission that God had given to him. And so that is the last virtue that he practiced. This purity or this fidelity in accomplishing the mission of God. The mission that was given to him to prepare the people for our Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer to come. And that was again something that was given specifically to him by God. It's the final question that our Lord asked. But what went you out to see, a prophet? And he says, more than a prophet. I sent an angel before your face. And so that's where our Lord waited for the disciples of St. John the Baptist to leave before he asked the people. When you went out to see this St. John the Baptist, what did you go out to see? And so he explains very clearly through the virtues he practiced that I sent to you an angel before your face. One that was going to lead you by his words, yes, by his preaching, very clearly, but also lead you by his holiness of life. And in some ways, that is, it's much more important, that preaching. Because he backed up what he was saying. He backed up what he was preaching. And so that is, we can say, the greater preaching. And so he sent an angel before their face, this precursor that was to come to prepare the people for that, to try to prepare the way for our Lord, to make straight the crooked paths. All these different things that we'll see that Advent brings out as the figure of St. John the Baptist in these next few Sundays. We will see how important he was in preparing the people, but then also the example that he gives to us. The example that he gives to us that we have to try to examine and to try to follow. And so through these virtues that he practiced, it is a help to us to try to see, okay, how can I be more consistent in my duties, doing my duty of state, what God has called me to, or what mortifications can I take on in order to try to fight my tendencies towards sin? And so these are the things to try to examine in this time period of Advent. To not only just look at St. John the Baptist, but to also to try to imitate his practice of the virtues. As I say, according to our state in life. But that is what God is calling us to. That is what God is drawing us to. And so truly, we have to try to take this time to examine our own soul, as I mentioned, trying to examine our soul each night. That can be a great help to us. To try to see then what are the things we need to try to root out, what are the things we have to try to get rid of in our soul so that we can make a proper place for our Lord. And that is what God is calling us to. That is why God sent St. John the Baptist. But then we also, obviously, have the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the models to follow. We just have to apply them to our daily life. And so in this time period of Lent, as we know, we are preparing for this feast of Christmas. It is good to pray to St. John the Baptist, to pray to Our Lady, to ask them to help us to prepare ourselves for the graces that are prepared for us for this great feast. Because we know, as we see in the liturgy in this time period of Advent, that the Savior is nigh. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.